This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. The Memorial of St. Cuthbert by Father William Doc Holliday.
I could not address you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as babes in Christ. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be accepted in my sight, O Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In that letter of 1 Corinthians, Paul, 1 Corinthians is a, let us say, in the best case scenario, an admonition of St. Paul. A lot of times he rebukes the Corinthian church because of dropping the ball on this, that, or the other thing. But in this particular rebuke, and this is what it is, he really chastises them for their spiritual immaturity. It sounds kind of churchy with the babes in Christ and all this. That's exactly what he's calling them, babies. He's actually standing in front of a group of people. Stop being babies. He's confronting them with the reality of their immaturity. And you know, he really hits it from a couple levels also. You know, he says, you know, you're not even ready for solid food. We get the whole physical thing with babies. They drink milk. They don't, you know, sloppy little messed up stuff. And, you know, can't throw a piece of steak down a baby's mouth. You know, they'll choke on it. Everybody gets that one. But he doesn't leave it with that. You know, I'm always talking to my analogy of the little birds with their heads open, you know, waiting for little things to get dropped in there. You know, and that's not who we are supposed to be as Catholics. We're supposed to, as you deepen your faith, you're supposed to start chewing on meat more and more. Even when it gets tough, you're supposed to chew on it. This is what we're supposed to do when it comes to the eating part. There's a second part of it. He says, what is this deal? My words, I'm Doc's paraphrase version. What's this deal with you and I am Paul? I am of Apollos. Who is Paul? Who's Apollos? This is about Jesus. Paul got sent here to establish the church. Apollos got sent here to nurture it and help it progress. You know, everybody's got a different thing. But this is about Jesus, whether it's at the establishment or the progression. This is about our Lord. And you guys are dropping, well, because I mean, that's the other baby analogy. Now, stop acting like babies. Babies are selfish. I always got to stop with the whole baby thing. Is there anything more cute? I mean, they rival bunnies, but I mean, they're cute. But pretty good baptism, look, the little baby, they're so innocent. They're innocent. And I'm not even talking about theologically with the original sin and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, that's huge. We're born dead in trespasses. They're so innocent. No, they're not. No, they're not. Anybody who's ever been around one, I mean, for any extended period of time, and not just not handed it back to their parents when they start to get fuzzy. You know, I mean, you've been around a baby for a while. They're little rage monsters. They're little purple rage monsters. I'm not talking about when they get fussy, you know, because their diapers won't get changed or they're hungry and they do the whiny thing and maybe a little cry. I'm talking about, you know, when their arms shake, their arm and they turn purple and they're like, it's like, man, look at that. That's babies. What's the first word? What's the first word out of every one of their mouths? No. No. And that's usually followed close by mine. You know, that's them. Babies are a good manifestation of our human nature. There are no filters there with the little babies. I heard somebody say one time, a comedian said one time, said, that's why they're so small, because if they were your size, they would kill you. And it's really true. It is really true. So, you know, Paul's accusing these guys, back to the original, Paul's accusing these guys of being like this. You're selfish. And by selfish, he means what I like, what I want, this is a problem that we have. I'm always like, yeah, bashing. I say, well, people say I'm bashing. I'm not bashing. I bash this. You know, when people use the F word, fair, that's not fair. God did it, and that's not fair. That's not, who are you? Who are you? You're a baby. You're a little baby. You act like a little baby. Fair. What's fair? It's not fair. Who is the arbiter of what's fair? God. God is the arbiter of what's fair, not us. And we're so quick to say, we're so quick to criticize. And it's generally because we don't understand something. I love when people, you know, on the rare occasion when people do want to, you know, have a discussion about something that they don't agree with, this, and this. Well, I just don't see that. I don't care what you see. Okay, I just told you objectively, here, scripture, tradition, you know, your argument's not with me, but my argument is with you when you tell me, I don't believe, I don't think this, that's selfish. It's selfish. And this is what St. Paul is confronting them with this. He says, you guys got to grow up. You got to grow up because you're fleshly. You're, you know, again, sounds very churchy. Men of the flesh. What is the flesh? I mean, really think about it, the characteristics of the flesh, you know, because St. Paul talks about the spirit warring against the flesh. Okay, so we're talking spiritually, we're supposed to grow the flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. We're always giving into the flesh. I tried to do this fast, but I was hungry, and all I just, you know, I can't stop, you know, that typical stuff. The flesh is weak. Our Lord looks at the apostles. Can you watch for me 1 hour? 1 hour, an hour. Watch for me 1 hour, with me 1 hour. And every time he goes back, they're asleep. I stand up here sometimes, Sundays particularly. Watch. Can't you be in church for an hour? Teenagers are really good at that. I don't even kick out of teenagers. Sometimes they get, I'm going to bash on you guys, just pointing out fact. You know, they can actually like put their heads down on their shoulders, or it doesn't like out of the way. It's kind of. So they're like, yeah, you know, watch with me 1 hour. It was the apostle. Yeah, those apostles. I see it every week. I see it every week. You watch me. Can't you just, and you don't just have to watch. I mean, they were just like hanging out. Here you actually engage. You sit, kneel, stand, doing this, doing that, all other kinds of, can't do that. This is the St. Paul. You know, you're a man of the flesh. Your flesh is weak. Our flesh is by its nature sinful. It's all compounded. It's weak and it's sinful. So you give into the sins, and it's transitory. It's transitory. We're all caught up on, you know, this, that, and the other thing about our being and our well-being, what I like and what I don't like, how much of this I'm going to have and how much of this I'm going to get and my retirement in the future and all this. Yes, indeed, should we plan for things like, yeah, of course. But you never want to lose sight of the fact that you might not have it this afternoon. This is the way we should approach things. And it's selfish not to, because it's selfish. I'm going to do this. I stopped about 20 years ago saying what I was going to do in the future, because God has this tendency to embarrass me time and time and time again when I say what I'm going to do. And we should all approach it like it, because that's selfish. This is all about me. I'm going to determine what I'm going to be doing in 5 years. God's like, you know, when he talks about the guy, yeah, I mean, he even uses the word when he talks about the guy who builds the barns, you fool. You know, don't you know that your soul is going to be required of you this night? No, you didn't know. That's why you're talking selfishly. This is the reality. This is why St. Paul, you know, I'm trying to talk to you, but you're men of the flesh. So I need to feed you solid food. And because you are what you are right now, I can't do it. I mean, like you said before, I mean, if you stuff a piece of steak in a baby's mouth, you're going to hurt him. All right? Why? They can't take it. The same thing with people with truth, God's truth. Yeah, this is why Paul uses that analogy a couple times. It's the meat of the word, and people have trouble chewing on it. And that is an indication immediately that they're babes in Christ. And just like a little child, they always try to act like they do know what they're talking about, or they're all, you know, they're like they're a theologian or something like that. And they really don't know. I love, when I used to teach at Seminole Community College, oh my gosh, Catholic night. I mean, the place is full of, you know, non-Catholics, of course, and non-believers, you know, people, atheists. You know, it's easy credit, I guess, going to the world religions class. Questions? Well, I don't know why I pay so much attention, because everybody knows that the Bible's full of contradictions. I used to love it. Name two. Name one. Name one contradiction in the Bible. Well, everybody just knows that everybody... Oh, so what you're telling me, let me read between the lines, I don't know what I'm talking about. I used to get in trouble by the head professor. You got to be easing up a little bit. No, you want to go there? You want to go there? We'll go there. You want to pop off publicly? You're going to get schooled publicly. You can't let that go. You made me feel like an idiot. Well, you are. You know, don't talk about things you don't know what you're talking about. And walk into an operating room and tell her, hey, brain surgeon, you're doing that all wrong, you know, because I saw it on TV once, you know. No. Yeah, I heard somebody tell me there's Bibles full of contradictions one time, so I'm just going to take them all and run with it. It's kind of bad for your eternal destiny. These people are led by human principles. They're led by human principles. They're human parameters. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. Some things never change. I like this priest. I like this priest. He's so funny. He makes me laugh. That's a non-issue. It doesn't make any difference if he makes you laugh or anything. You better be telling the truth about Jesus Christ. And that truth has to do with knowing about hell and knowing about sin and repentance and talking about the confessional and things like that. He tells great stories. Oh, well, that's not going to get you into heaven. Guaranteed, it's not going to get you into heaven. If you can do that and do the other thing, that's great. But at the end of the day, we should not put our human parameters on what we appreciate, because, again, that's selfish. I like it. Yeah, you know, we've got to step back and think that this is all about our Lord and the gospel, to embrace truth. Yeah, to embrace truth, we need to continually distance ourselves from worldly considerations. Whenever your consideration of something is worldly, we should be doing introspection on things like that. Particularly if something really bugs you. If something, this is really bugging me. I'm going to say something because I'm writing a letter or do whatever. Okay, you're going to... Why? Okay, why? Why does this bug you? Why does this bug you? I mean, I would say 90% of the times it bugs you because you don't know you don't understand it. You don't understand. You don't know what the facts are. Oh my gosh, during right after the transition. Oh my God. I used to love it. People come in, leave. Well, that was different. It took me about a month to go, oh, I'll learn the response to that. Oh, that was different. No, it's not. What? No, it's not. Catholics have been worshiping like that for 1,500 years. There's nothing different about that. What you see is different. What you see is younger than me. Yeah. Okay. People just don't know. And it's just, again, it's worldly considerations on things. Like that. If something bothers you, do some studying. Do some studying. Shoot me an email. I'll come to the office. Love talking about the stuff. At the end of the day, the first thing you should do, if something really bothers you, is to determine as to why is it bothering you. Is it bothering you because you've never seen it before? Is it bothering you because you've never heard this before? I mean, I threw that one out all the time. I hear that all the time. I've been a Catholic for 55 years. I never knew. Okay, there you go. You don't get mad at it because you never heard it before. You learn. You grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the progress that St. Paul wants. He wants this for these people. He wants it, and it's reached a point where I want you to progress, and you guys aren't doing it because you're a bunch of babies. Literally, I mean, that's what the man says. Today, the Memorial Day is, and there's nothing new under the sun. The Memorial Day of St. Cuthbert, he's not like a big one that everybody knows about. St. Cuthbert, you know, is a bishop in the 7th century in what we now know as southern Scotland, England, kind of jump back and forth between. St. Cuthbert was a bishop, and he's a prime example of a person who is mature in Christ and didn't, like, have a hobby horse. Because at that particular time in England and you know, in what is the United Kingdom now, different places around there, there was a huge tension between what they called the Roman ritual and the Celtic ritual. And you see a lot of this in the Ordinariate. The way that I guess you could, that when you hear the word patrimony, the patrimony in the English spiritual tradition, and I'm not talking about Anglicanism after the Reformation, I'm talking the Catholic Church that grew up from the 6th century in England, that spirituality is different than continental European spirituality. It's much more incarnational. And I'm not discounting that the continental European discount the incarnation. Incarnational being there is an emphasis on Christ's presence with us, with the Holy Spirit, and particularly sacramentally. There is a huge emphasis placed on the real presence of Christ. And I mean, some of the writings from back in those days and those from those areas can be very, very fanciful. But there's a reason for it, because there are a lot of fanciful things that can be said about this Saturday, but that fanciful stuff comes from a spirituality or a mindset spiritually. And when your mindset is about Jesus being here, it's like, well, yeah, if Jesus is here in real presence in the Eucharist, he could possibly be here. And if somebody gets their head cut off, they could walk around with it and talk and think. That's one of the little stories that you read about, you know. I have a hard time believing that somebody walked around with their head severed and it was talking, or that they put it back on and were healed again. This is the stories back. But where does that come from? Again, the underlying base foundation for that story is this idea that, oh yes, God is present in this world and he can do anything here. He changes bread and wine into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And you just take that ball and run with it. But back to St. Cuthbert, you know, in all these discussions, Roman ritual, Celtic ritual, he was like, why does it really make any difference? Why are we all arguing about it and hating on one another about it? Because it should be about Jesus, whether it's the Roman ritual or, like I said, nothing new under the sun. Look at us in this day and age. Oh, the Latin Mass is bad because it's divisive. Oh, we don't like the new Mass because it's a... Focus on Jesus, okay? Yeah, we can have these intramural debates as to what's better and why this and why that and everything, but they should be just that, intramural debates. Shouldn't be unchurching one another and wanting each other to be excommunicated and all this kind of stuff. Questioning the eternal destiny of people. It's about Jesus and the gospel. This is what St. Paul wants. And this is, the people react positively in the presence of Jesus. The more they learn about Jesus, the more other things don't really make any difference. The gospel today, St. Paul's talking about, you know, 20, 25 years after Jesus' earthly ministry. And St. Paul, you know, even in the early church, divisions, dissensions, this, that, and the other thing. When Jesus is around, people don't want him to leave them. When Jesus is around, they want him to stay with them. They want to be with him. They want to stay. That's what happens the closer you get to Christ. Again, these other things kind of, you know, yeah, as important as they may be in this respect or that respect, yeah. But the important thing is Jesus Christ and a person getting closer to him. This is what, you know, St. Paul, you guys got to grow up so you can progress in the grace and knowledge of Christ. If we don't grow up, we are always going to be selfish. We're never going to be able to eat meat. This is something that St. Paul wants for us. Like I said, our Lord's around. They try to seek him. They don't want him to leave them. And this can happen to us, particularly when we're exposed to the Eucharist. You know, the Eucharist, yeah, that's the closest you're going to get to Jesus Christ on the face of this planet, ever. Okay? And if you received it once in your lifetime, that would suffice. And we get to receive him as much as we want. Again, it's about Jesus. We are God's workers. And I don't talk about clerics. Everybody. We all have the Great Commission. We all have a vocation. We all have an apostolate, in which we might not even call it that, but we all have one. And it is to touch other people for our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all his workers. And I like the way Paul ties this in. Because you got to grow up, because we're all workers of Christ. And he put two analogies he uses. He goes, you are the field of our Lord Jesus Christ, in a field, agricultural. Things grow, they get nurtured, they expand and things like that. And you are the building blocks of Christ. Building blocks are something that need to be formed. You just don't pick up a rock and not chisel on it and everything like that and throw it on a foundation. It doesn't work well. You need to chip it up and make it square so it fits exactly where it's supposed to be. That's us also. We're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be chipped away and honed down to a place that's fitting to be in the edifice of our Lord Jesus. This is what Paul wants. He can't do it if you're a baby. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.